Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. We are brought to you by the good folks at the Visit Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. VisitVicksburg.com is the website. We'll be telling you about some of the great stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg throughout the show. If you want to join the show, you can do it on the C Spires text line, 601-879-4395. And of course, Rhino joins the show every week. We are on a great streak. We are back up and running on our no shenanigans streak. We'll see if we can keep that going. I mean, I feel like sometimes I might jinx it when I talk about it. But I have faith in our guy, so he will pilot the ship, and I'll just talk us through the journey. Which I feel like what I've been doing all football season. I've just kind of been talking us through the journey, of which it has not been the smoothest at any time. But Bulldogs did get back on the winning side of the ledger this past weekend with the 45-20 win over the UMass Minutemen, a game that, I'm not going to take anything long-term away from that game. I will just give credit to Levy and to Coleman Hutzler as well, that they made the right adjustments, they made the right calls, and they won the game. The game looked like, after the first quarter anyway, the game looked like what it should look like when an SEC team plays a team like UMass. 45-20 is a fine score for a game like that. So, works for me. A much tougher assignment this weekend as Mississippi State heads up to Knoxville to take on the Tennessee Volunteers, a team that is very much, as you saw last night from the rankings, very much in the thick of the college football playoff conversation, very much in the conversation to win the Southeastern Conference. I mean, as it sits right now, they only have the one loss. They still have to play the Georgia Bulldogs in a week, but, I mean, they can win that game. And it's the first meeting between Josh Heupel and Jeff Lebby, two guys who have a long and storied history with each other. Two guys that have worked together at a number of stops. Lebby described Heupel today. Monday in the press conference as the man I have the most respect for in this business. Apparently, they are very, very tight. So, and one of the things we talked about on Tuesday's Thunder and Lightning podcast is that Lebby, I think Lebby's a year behind Heupel, and what I mean by that is this. Heupel, year one at Tennessee, they were competitive in all games, and you know, you could really see the foundation getting laid there. By year two, they were a good football team. I don't think State's there. I think State's a year behind that. I'm not a big year zero guy. You hear that term thrown in sometimes, year zero, when you come into a new program, and I don't buy that. The games count. You know, if he goes 2-10 this year, that counts. That's what his record was. I can't just write it off because, you know, I understand the amount of turmoil and turnover there's been at Mississippi State over the last decade. I understand that Mike Leach passed away and put the program into a state of upheaval, but Lebby's record is Lebby's record. If he goes 2-10, that's what he is. There is no year zero. But I would tell you that this year is just trying to get through. Next year can be what year one was for Heupel, I think, where you're competitive in all your games and you have a chance to go to a bowl game at the end of the season. And then by year three, you would hope that you have a solid football team. I feel like that's a reasonable timeline for Mississippi State. I feel like that's a reasonable expectation level. I'm not saying that in year two. You know, year two at Ole Miss for Kiffin, they won 10 games. I'm not going to ask that of Jeff Lebby. I would not put that expectation level on him. I think it's absolutely fair for me and for all of you out there that are Mississippi State fans listening. I think it's absolutely fair to say that in year two you should be a bowl team. In this day and age, where you can go into the transfer portal, you can reshape your roster quickly. You're going to bring back what appears to be a young superstar freshman quarterback to build around. You should be able to win six games in a season. And if you can't, then you know that's when I can start to question things. I mean, I can if he can't go to a bowl game next year, I would 5-7. If it just depends on how it looks, right? But if it's not massive improvement from this year, if you're back-to-back 2-10s, I am within my rights to make a question. So that's where I think Lebby is. I think he looks at the Heupel model and says, I can emulate that, but I'm also a year behind it. Tennessee is an interesting team because with Heupel there, they've always been such a good offensive team, and they've just struggled a bit offensively this year. But they've made up for it by being one of the best defensive teams in the country. Their defensive line is probably, them and Ole Miss, probably the top two defensive lines. If not in the, I know in the SEC, but probably in college football. They're really, really good, the Volunteers. I did an interview today with Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7. That'll be available on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. And basically, we talked about Nico, the young five-star quarterback, and asked him, you know, what was our expectation level too high? You know, we saw the five stars, and we thought, okay, well, he'll just come in with this Heupel offense, and he'll be good to go. And we both agree that, yeah, we probably did. That there was going to be a learning curve that we just didn't account for as much. That said, they're still, 7-1, 8-1, and well on their way to the college football playoff. Even if they lose to Georgia, I think they'll still get into the top 12. They'd have two losses on the year, one to Arkansas, which is kind of inexplicable, and then one loss to Georgia on the road. That's probably still going to get in. And if they don't get in there, they're one of the first teams out. So I think they're going in the right direction there, if nothing else. The problem for this game is this. Tennessee is good enough defensively that it's going to be tough for State to score. And State can't win low-scoring games because their defense won't allow for it. You know, that's how Arkansas beat Tennessee, is they muddied up the game, they slowed everything down, and they made it a defensive slugfest, and they were able to win that kind of game. I don't know that State can do that. So for State, if they're going to win games, they have to get, 28 to 35 points. That's going to be really, really tall, a really, really tall order against this Tennessee defense. Now, that being said, State scored 31 on the road at Georgia. They scored 24 on A&M. They scored 25 on Arkansas. These are all pretty good defensive, good to pretty good defensive teams. So the opportunity is there for State to put some points on the board. The issue is, as always, how many times are they going to get off the field? How many turnovers can you create to give yourself some extra possessions? Can you create a turnover in plus territory? You know, State only had the one turnover last week, and there was a ball that was intercepted at the MSU 3-yard line. So it's not like you got an opportunity there. They were able to drive down and get a touchdown out of it. But it's not like they just set themselves up. Against A&M, they were able to do that. They got up the touchdown in plus territory and made a play out of it. So we'll see. You know, everything's kind of we'll see with me with this football team. I don't take anything. I don't look at this team at any point and say they will do this. When I'm talking about something positive, anyway, I will say that about the defense. They will give up points and yards. That will happen. But offensively, I can't just come out and tell you now they will score 30 plus points. You know, got to remember as good as Van Buren has been. You know, they only have one game over 30 points. 28 to Florida, 13 to Texas, 24 to A&M, 25 to Arkansas. They did have 31 on Georgia, which is, you know, kind of inexplicable when you think about it. But that was a well-played offensive game for Mississippi State. I love what I see from Van Buren week in and week out. I mean, that kid, I will be surprised if he's not a star at Mississippi State. I know a lot of people, I keep getting the y'all's texts on the ceasefire text line. I get tweets, you know, well, is he going to stay? That I feel very confident in saying that he wants to be coached by Jeff Lebby. Now, that doesn't mean that State's not going to have to put some NIL money on the table for him. That will absolutely happen. That doesn't mean that other teams won't come after him. Auburn! But I feel confident. Yeah, and look, it's recruiting. It's fluid. Could something change in a month? Of course it could. But as we sit here today on November 6th at 6:16 p.m., a lot of sixes there. You got to be careful. I feel very confident that Michael Van Buren will continue his college football career here in Starkville. So we'll see what happens this weekend. I would like to just see a little bit more. You know, and Lebby talked about that. He said, hey, he's playing all right, but we challenge him. We want him to play better. And I think that's an interesting way of looking at it, because I think fans would look at it and say, oh, he's playing great. Well, if he's playing great, they might have some more wins. So maybe that's the way to look at it. I don't know. Let's switch gears. Basketball is back, and a great start to the season this Monday night at the Hump. Let's talk about what we saw on the court when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The one. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Hey, this Veterans Day, November the 11th, the Vicksburg National Military Park will be doing a fee-free day in honor of Veterans Day. You can come out and enjoy the National Military Park there on Clay Street, an awesome place. If you've never been there, you absolutely should go check it out. If you need more information, call 601-636-0583. Also on Veterans Day, there will be a parade and memorial service in downtown Vicksburg starting at Belmont Street. And we'll end at Washington and Jackson. Then there will be a Veterans Day ceremony at 11 a.m. in the Rose Garden on Monroe Street. For more information on that, call 601-415-7540 or 601-529-6062. Good text here on the ceasefire text line, 601-879-4395. Could State win if they play like they played against Georgia? Yes, they absolutely could win. They absolutely could win the game if they could find a way to play. That game, State was really good offensively, and they forced, two turnovers in that game. If they could do that, they would have a chance to win the game. I absolutely believe that. So, Mississippi State basketball got off to a hot shooting start on a Monday evening at the Humphrey Coliseum. Josh Hubbard, I expected. Claudell Harris Jr., I didn't know enough about. I wasn't familiar with his game. But, man, those two guys lit it up from three-point range. State with a 35-point win over Georgia State. Played a ton of guys. They're trying to figure out rotations. They're trying to figure out where they're going to put guys. I don't think Sean Jones is going to start all that often as the season goes along. I don't think Keyshawn Murphy will start at the five as the season goes along. I think Riley Kugel, who did not have a great opening night, but I think that the talent is too great there for him to continue to struggle the way he did in the first half of that game. I think he was much better in the second half. Didn't really show it on the scorecard, but you know, when you watch him play, you can see some things. You know, if you know what you're looking for, you can see some athleticism. You see the basketball IQ, some of the plays he's making away from the ball, the way he moves. He's a talented player. So I was impressed with Michael Nwoko, the transfer from Miami. Who came in at was the first guy off the bench at the center position at the five. Athlete, big guy. State needs him to take over that spot. He fits that five role better than Keyshawn Murphy does. Murphy was really good, though. He's 6 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, led the team in rebounds and assists. Took a couple of three-pointers, which you don't really want to see too much of him doing that, but I thought he was good enough on Monday night. But Hubbard, obviously, Josh Hubbard's just one of the best players in college basketball. And then that's just what he is. And he is going to continue to be that. Now, is he going to get 26 every night? That's probably not going to happen. But he's going to be between, you know, an off night for him will be 15 or 16 points. You know, an average night for him will be 18 or 19 points, and then he'll have those nights where he's above 20. You know, obviously the three-point shooting was there, but it was explosive. Got to the rim a few times. Just looks good. And then you have Claudell Harris, who's an interesting, you know, guy. Maybe like an undersized three a little bit. Could play the two as well. But 6 3-pointers for him. Did not hesitate to pull the trigger. If he had an inch of space, he was putting the ball up and shot the ball well. Kanye Clary, didn't have much on the score sheet, but you can see that he's got some potential there for sure. You know, you see the explosiveness from him, how he was able to move with the basketball. He's got that extra gear. He's got that shiftiness. I was impressed by him. I think he'll have some games this year where he's above 20 points as well. I'm just trying to go through some of the new faces for you guys because I know in this day and age of the transfer portal, it's tough to keep up with that roster. You know, I haven't mentioned Cam Matthews, and honestly, he didn't play very much. Got into foul, kind of the story of his career. Got into foul trouble early in the game and didn't make much of a contribution. RJ Melendez is another new guy, transfer from Georgia. Had a 3-pointer in this one. Long guy. You know. Obviously, you can see why he's such an effective defender. Long arms. Long legs, but a good athlete can move up and down the court. I think State's going to sort of change the way they've played defense over the past few years in that they've always been like a team that like really grinded it out and you couldn't get inside on them. I think this year's team is going to be a little bit more active in the passing lanes, a little more pressing because they don't have that size that they've had in years past. Any concern about losing Eric Payman with his red shirt? Also, how many games can you play as a red shirt in basketball? You can't play any. I don't think we'll see Eric Payman this year. And then, is there any concern? I mean, I would imagine if there was concern that they wouldn't redshirt him. But again, this day and age of the transfer portal, you know, if he goes, he goes, and you just go on to the next guy. I mean, he's a talented young player, don't get me wrong, but just not a lot of minutes for him at that four position with some of the guys State's got this year. So, He'll have to wait his turn. Talking to Chris Jans after, you know, Jans is in his time at Mississippi State has been a pretty straight shooter with us. You know, I feel like there's coach speak involved. Don't get me wrong, but by and large, when the team plays well, he'll tell you about it. When the team plays poorly, he'll tell you why they played poorly. I thought that the classic coach saying of pleased but never satisfied was very fitting for how he felt after game one. Now, he saw some good things. Obviously, got to play a lot of guys. A couple guys stepped up and made some shots. But at the same time, State didn't play anywhere near its best game. And I wonder sometimes, you know, when you play a team and you win by a large margin, but you know you didn't play your best, can that be a negative or is it more of a positive? Is it more of, okay, we weren't anywhere near our ceiling tonight and we won by 35 points? So does that say, you know, does that motivate you? Okay, when we play our best, we're going to be really tough to beat. Or does it go the other way? And you're just like, oh, well, we can come in here and coast and still win big. That's the dangerous part. If I know Jans, my guess is he was probably a little harsh on them in practice, saying, you know, guys didn't play well. Don't let the final score fool you. And I will say this with West Georgia, that they had a 5-minute spell there in the first half where they made the game very interesting. I think they cut the lead down to 3 or 4, and State was not able to do anything. State was a little too fast on offense, taking some ill-advised shots, and on the other end of the court, not getting out there defensively and allowing some made baskets. And all of a sudden, you looked up, and what I think was a 12-13-point lead was down to 3 or 4. Mississippi State pushes the lead back out to 11 at the end of the half with a couple of late shots from Claudell Harris. And then was in complete control in the second half. But West Georgia made it interesting for a 4 or 5 minute span there. And if I, again, divining on what I know from Chris Jans, that he will very much focus on that more than he will focus on the good things that were done by Mississippi State. So good start to the season. Back at it Friday night, 6:30 tip. at the Hump against Georgia State. So they're doing a tour here of the state of Georgia, I guess. And then don't forget, next Sunday, they'll be on the road, but not really. They'll be in South Haven. So if you're up there in northwest Mississippi, if you're in DeSoto County, you're a Bulldog fan, you can come to the Landers Center and see Mississippi State versus Utah. That should actually be a pretty good game. That's a Sunday 3 o'clock tip. State has another game. I forget exactly who it's against. I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's Tuesday night, 6:30 tip in the Hump. But then their first, it's a neutral site game, but I think you and I both know that's going to be a very partisan Mississippi State crowd. I will be there to cover that one, so I'm looking forward to heading up to South Haven to see the Bulldogs play in that game. I'm excited for basketball. You know, last year I was on this show and I said I think they could compete for the SEC championship. I was off on that prediction. There's no question about that. I don't know if this team is good enough to do that. I think they can. They're a tournament team, no question. But I think that, you know, we're talking about, are they going to be able to compete with the Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee? I don't know if they're that high up. So, you know, just being a little further up the seeding line is what I would look at for this year for Mississippi State. They were an 8 seed, a 9 seed. I forget exactly which one it is. They were in the 8-9 game. Can they be a 6 seed this year? Could they maybe jump into being a 5 seed this year? That would be a good season for this team. Just because they do have some weaknesses, right? They are going to be a little weak on the inside. You know, their rebounding is not going to – last year's rebounding was dominant. You know, with Tolu, DJ Jeffries was a great rebounder. Obviously, Cam Matthews gave you what you gave you. Jimmy Bell coming off the bench. And then you had two really good rebounding guards last year in Shaq Moore and Deshaun Davis. This year, this team, you know, they're going to need to rely on made shots because those offensive rebounds. And then on the other side of the ball, like we said – they just don't have that size to really enforce their will. They're going to have to create turnovers, which they did Monday night. They forced seven. They had 17 steals, forced 20 turnovers altogether, 31 points off of turnovers. That's a big number there. I don't know if you can do that night in and night out, but Jance talked about it. He said they are going to be more active in the passing lanes. They're going to be more active with their hands for sure. So that's a good start for Mississippi State. All right, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more football. Three games left. Can State get one? Can State find a way to pull a big upset? There have been big upsets in the SEC this year. Can Mississippi State find a way to get one of them in the next three games? So let's go through them one at a time and see what we think about that. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Here on Super Talk Mississippi, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks, as always, for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. I absolutely appreciate it. I appreciate my friends over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. On, you know what? Don't let Richard know I did this, but on Tuesday, November 12th, the Mississippi Republican Caucus meeting will be at the Vicksburg Convention Center. They should have plenty to talk about, I would imagine, at that meeting. So the Vicksburg Convention Center, 1600 Briggs Hobson Road in Vicksburg. For more information, call 601-630-2929. That's all the Election Day news you're going to get out of Thunder and Lightning here today. Three games left on the schedule for Mississippi State. On the road at Tennessee, top 10 team. Missouri at home, top 25 team. And then the Egg Bowl, obviously, on the road against what is currently, I think, their 16th. And they'll probably either stay around that or they'll go way up, depending on what happens this Saturday when they play with Georgia. Let's look at each one of those games real quick. And is there a path for State? As I mentioned just a second ago, if we had a question on the C Spire text line, which you can reach me at 601-879-4395. If State plays the same game they played against Georgia, if Van Buren can play the same way that he did in that game and they can force a couple turnovers, maybe even be a little bit better in the running game than they were in that one. And State's gotten better in the running game each of the last three games. I will give them that. There's a path to beating Tennessee. Tennessee has struggled a bit offensively this year, so maybe it's a situation where State's defense is the great equalizer, right? They will allow points. But could State find a way to get into the 24-27 point range and keep Tennessee around 27, 28 points, something like that? Possibly. You know, the odds aren't good. I won't sugarcoat it. I'm not gonna sit here and try to tell you that any of these things that I'm describing are likely. I'm just saying that the possibilities do exist, that there is a path for State to go up to Knoxville this weekend, play really well. And Michael Van Buren, say what you want about the guy. I mean, he went to Texas and played okay. He played great against Georgia at Georgia. I don't think the moment's too big for him. Now, that's going to be a big-time atmosphere, 100,000 plus. But I think he can go in there and he keep his head about him at the very least. Missouri is a very interesting game. First off, if you know, I think Brady Cook's back. I think he's supposed to play this week. I haven't seen one way or the other on that, but I believe he's back. So that's a difference maker. If they come down to Starkville without Brady Cook able to play, then the State has a real chance in that game, a real legitimate chance. But even with Cook, they have not been the most explosive offensive team. Now, I feel like I keep saying this, but I can't stress it enough that defensively, State is just going to allow teams to have points and yards on them. That's fine. But State, again, that's a game that State, if they play their best game and their defense just gives them a couple of stops, a couple of turnovers, force a punt, you have a small window of opportunity there where you could get that win. I would say of these three games, that is the most likely. Obviously, it being at home is helpful. A good performance this weekend against Tennessee might give you one last good crowd of the season. And I say good, you know, kind of, you know, there's some asterisks on that. I mean, can you have 45,000 at the game? That would be a good crowd, in my opinion, for a November 23rd game against Missouri in the middle of a two-win season. But State can be competitive with Missouri. One thing to take into account with all of these predictions and however you want to look at it is the opportunity also exists for State to play like they played against Arkansas and not be able to get any stops and give up 50-plus points. That is also a possibility for State. But against Missouri, if you made me put a percentage on it, I would say that, you know, maybe better than 25% they could win that game. I mean, I would not say that they're just this massive, massive underdog in that game. They will be an underdog, don't get me wrong. So Tennessee's defense hasn't given up 20-plus points this year. It's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be very tough. But again, if State can go to Georgia and put 31 on the board, they can go to Tennessee and put up 27. They can do it. This is it. But it will absolutely be tough. There's no getting around that fact there. Then there's the Egg Bowl. If Ole Miss, I don't know which way I lean. Like, I think if you're a State fan, what you want is for Ole Miss to lose this weekend and to get the playoff out of their system. And so that maybe you have some guys want to opt out, or maybe you have some guys that are just not as locked in as they should be at that point. If Ole Miss wins this game against Georgia, they will be as focused as they can be because they know they cannot slip up. Obviously, Lebby and Kiffin have history, and they know each other. At the end of the day, though, with Ole Miss, you saw them throw for 500 yards against Arkansas, a team that Mississippi State did not throw for 500 yards against. And they pretty much dominated that game. And Ole Miss is just so good up front on defense. They're going to put a ton of pressure on Mike Van Buren. You know, I remember State going there in 08 and how many times that Tyson Lee and Wes Carroll were sacked in that game. It could be something like that where they take 5, 6, 7 sacks in that game. and it's just a bit of a you just can't get anything going against that Ole Miss defense. But at the same time, it is the Egg Bowl. And, I mean, would it be the biggest upset in Egg Bowl history? I mean, it might be in the conversation. It would absolutely think you'd be up there. I go back to the biggest point spread that I can remember, and I just don't remember some of the old ones, but in 17, State was a 17.5-point favorite. That's the game where Nick Fitzgerald gets hurt and Ole Miss wins and Mullins out the door. State will probably be a bigger underdog than that coming into this game. Again, depending on what Ole Miss is, you know. But if Ole Miss, even at an 8-3 Ole Miss team, would probably be a 21.5 to 24.5-point favorite over Mississippi State. And of course, there's, you know, the thought had crossed my mind that Kiffin might just say, "Look, we can't go to the playoff this year. Our fans are going to be upset. The least we can do for them is beat the heck out of our rival on our home field." And then you could end up with a game where he's just tossing the ball all over the field. But Ole Miss is another team that struggled running the football this year. So maybe you can find a way there. Defensively, though, that's my issue. That's such a good defense. It's so weird talking about Ole Miss and State. Normally it's the other way around, right? State, it's Ole Miss who's defensively, they're a little challenged, and State's usually really good defensively, but they can't do anything on the offensive side of the ball. And it's been the other way around this year. Ole Miss has struggled at times offensively, last week notwithstanding, but defensively they've just been outstanding in every game this year. Their defense has been good enough to keep them undefeated. But offensively, they've had some issues. State offensively has found their way a little bit, basically since SEC play has started, but defensively they're giving up, you know, 43 points a game in conference play. So you just, you know, what are you going to do? I think State, let me say this. You look around the SEC this year. Arkansas was able to beat Tennessee. Vanderbilt's able to beat Alabama. Kentucky's able to go to Ole Miss and win. South Carolina has got a couple of good wins. And South Carolina manhandled a Kentucky team that at the time we thought might be pretty good. Then they go and they manhandle a Texas A&M team that I know is pretty good. So there have been some potential. There have been some good upsets this year. State has the talent to pull off one upset on the way out the door here. They have the talent to do it. It's just going to be a question of, do they play at a high enough level? I would tell you right now that I would not pick State to win any of these final three games. I don't know that I necessarily pick State to cover any of these final three games. I'll just go and tell you, because we're not going to talk about football in the last few minutes of the show. But I think State loses this weekend something like 49-21, 49-24, which would be close to a cover. But I just think Tennessee's going to have its way with them. But it's not a totally hopeless situation. Again, and somebody on text line here, Lane will score 100 if he can. I mean, I think that is a very realistic possibility that he will do everything he can to run the score up on State. You know, when your rival's down, you should absolutely kick them. I got no, you won't hear me complain for one bit about that if Lane Kiffin does. But at the same time, you know, there are scenarios that exist, and they're very specific, guys. It's a chain reaction that if one thing goes wrong, no, you look up and you're down three touchdowns. But there is the possibility that State can find its way in one of these final three games, and just give the home crowd, give the Bulldog fans just one little bit of happiness before we wrap this season up on November the 29th. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see if it happens this Saturday. All right, Mississippi State. Soccer, let's talk about that, because they are on a winning streak that is incredible right now. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
When the storm hits, thunder and lightning. On Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Hey!
One more go around here on Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thank you guys for tuning in as always. If you ever miss a show, it's available on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, which is available wherever you guys get podcasts from. Plus, Thunder and Lightning now on YouTube. That's right. If you just have to see my smiling face alongside Robbie Falk, you can do that every day. Just subscribe to the Super Talk YouTube channel. That's also where you'll find Thunder and Lightning live post game after every game. So we're looking at, you know, probably around a 9:30, 10 o'clock, a little late night post game action this coming Saturday with Mississippi State and Tennessee as they wrap things up Saturday evening. Please check that out. Subscribe to the Super Talk YouTube channel. You get clips from all of our shows. All of our podcasts are available there. It's good stuff. You definitely want to check that out. As always, we're sponsored by Visit Vicksburg. Next Saturday, the 16th, the Holiday Floral Design Workshop will be happening 10 a.m. to 12:30 at the Vicksburg Public Library. You can learn about holiday floral design made from Mississippi-grown materials with the professors from the MSU Extension Office. For more information, call 601-636-5442. Rhino, I know that you are a fan of the beautiful game of soccer. Of football. You are a Fulham fan, as we all know. I know you're going to watch some Premier League this weekend. My friend, you will not see a better goal than the one Mississippi State put on Tennessee last night in extra time. Love golden goal, by the way. You know, they don't do that in like the World Cup and stuff like that. I wish they would. I love sudden death. But just an absolutely great ball into the box, a first-time finish to give the Dogs a 2-1 win over Tennessee, pushing them into the semifinals of the SEC tournament. Dogs ranked number 2 in the nation. They've only lost one game this year. They've only given up 5 goals this year. They've won 14 games in a row. They will, I would imagine at this point, they are locked into being a top seed in the NCAA tournament, which means they will host games, as long as they keep winning, all the way through to the Final Four. Looking for, we'll put it in Premier League parlance here, Rhino. They're looking to do the double. They've already won the SEC regular season championship. Now looking for the SEC tournament championship. They play South Carolina tomorrow, a team that gave them a little trouble a couple weeks ago, a game that that Carolina got an early lead in. That was State's first goal given up in SEC play. It was their last regular season game of the season. But State ends up turning that game around. I think final score is 3-1. This team is really good, guys, and I'm working right now to get I don't know where to look. I'm trying to find somebody to talk college soccer on the podcast next week because we need to talk about this team. They have a very, very strong chance that they could go deep, deep into the NCAA tournament, and if they win a national title the way they play. Guys, like I said, they've given up in – what's their actual record? I think it's like 19-1. Let me see if I can get you up here. While we're working here, so on the season this team is they're 17-1. They've won 14 in a row. They've given up a total in the regular season of 4 goals. They've given up 4 goals this year, so pretty impressive as you might imagine. They have a chance. They have a chance that they play incredible defense. They dominated the All-SEC team. James Armstrong, SEC Coach of the Year. And they have a great keeper, Maddie Anderson, who last night kind of won the game for State with a penalty save in the first period of overtime. She has been outstanding this year. We had Coach Armstrong on with us a week ago on Sports Talk Mississippi and said that she is absolutely worthy of a tryout with the U.S. Women's National Team for the way that she has played this season. This has been a fun team to keep up with this year. I wouldn't necessarily say I've covered them, but they have been fun to keep up with, and it looks like next weekend there's going to be postseason soccer here in the city of Starkville. They had a record crowd a few weeks ago, 2,857. I promise you I've been to games at the Hump that didn't have that many. I've been to SEC games at the Hump that didn't have that many people at the game, but They have been packing it out. Mississippi State, through the years, and this goes back to baseball back in the old days, but when you've got a winner at Mississippi State, when you've got a program that's fun and engages your fans, State fans will show up for it. Vic Schaefer would tell you that. Sam Ricketts would tell you that. Chris Jans is showing you that now, and now James Armstrong is showing them that. I expect big crowds in Starkville for the NCAA tournament this week. So that's a lot of fun, and I think it will be a I think State has a legit chance the way they've played this year. They can continue to play in that level. We'll keep it in the preliminary. We'll keep that soccer terminology, Rhino. If they can keep that form, they will have a real chance to hoist a national title trophy at the end of the season. All right, guys. Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow with me and Borky. Friday is just me. I've run them both off. Borky's going to be at a wedding. I hope you listen to that story of him and this weekend and where he's staying. If you didn't, check it out on the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. It is 100% worth going back and listening to. So a great week here on Sports Talk Mississippi. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Check out Thunder and Lightning podcast. For Rhino in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.